resolution 25-162, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:36.
6:36 p.m. Call a question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-163, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directives arising from the closed session held on April the 15th, 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back in open session, we'll go roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Rodden.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
And Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We've moved some items around to accommodate our fire chief, Rob Morrison. So we're moving, for those who weren't here at the start, when we started an open session, 17.1 and 17.2 on the agenda, and 20.1. They're all moved to the beginning of the agenda. And Rob said that he would keep things very brief, so it shouldn't hold up to any people. Okay, so we'll have resolutions after each part of your presentation. So the first one seems to be dealing with the dry hydrants.
Very good, yes. Okay. So the report was submitted to council with my recommendations for the installing of dry hydrants at various places throughout the township. Again, as I said in the actual report, always open to more locations and more ideas. I know that Dickinson Road was one that was of interest. Some people have heard that name tossed around. I'd like to take a better look at it. When I went around and did site evaluations, it may have been too high of a draw from what I could see. And we would have some road work to do in order to make a turnaround viable on the far side of the on Dickinson Road there. But immediately for this year, I feel that impactfully we can put dry hydrants at the Stewart Park boat launch, at the on the boat launch there, as well as in the village itself at the government dock. Those are my two recommendations, and essentially this is just being brought forward so the council is kept up to speed as to exactly what dry hydrants are, their functionality, how we maintain them, and the benefit of having them placed evenly throughout the township. So is there any questions associated with the report at all?
And the amount, just for those people who haven't looked at the agenda package, perhaps for these two, around $8,000?
The quoted materials was $8,000.
Right.
The budgeted amount was $13,000. I tried to estimate what it would cost in terms of manpower using our works people and our equipment in order to, you know, have a whole encompassing budget for that. Yes.
And just for the sake, again, for the public, you've got some plan for 2026 sort of thing?
Yes.
Could you mention what those are?
I have proposed five that we start with, and again, I'm open to new locations. We currently have one in our inventory, which is at the Herdville Dam. We used to have one in the village of McKellar. Unfortunately, because we didn't have appropriate agreements in place, we had to pull it out. So we're just moving it a little further up Catherine Street there and putting it at the government dock. That gives us essentially a good 12 months of the year access to water easily. When it's, for those who aren't familiar, a dry hydrant essentially is just going under the water. It's an installation that allows us to access the water without drilling holes in the ice on the lake. So it makes it a lot quicker and faster and more reliable for filling our tankers and responding to fires all year round. So having that one there in the government dock, and having one at Stewart Park, and then further down the line in 2026, we were hoping to put one at Camp Majala, which would impact the people along Burnett's Road quite nicely, as well as the Tate's Island Causeway. So for all the people on Tate's Island. And what we're trying to do, as you can see from the graphics, I've provided essentially 5 kilometer radiuses. Driving around the township, a 5 kilometer radius is probably more like 8 kilometers, 9 kilometers of driving when you factor in all the twists and turns and the fact that you can't go from one side to the other because there's water in the middle. So trying to plan it out as much as we can so that by the end of 2027 we have a fairly even distribution of these hydrants throughout the township and pretty adequate coverage.
So are you open to suggestions from the public?
Absolutely. I'm open to, if somebody has a suggestion, if somebody is willing to allow access to, let's say, one that I've spoken about with people is on Broadbent Road. After the falls, where the water comes right up close to Broadbent Road, that is private property. But if we had an easement in place, if we had an agreement with the landowner, we could in fact put a gravel pad there and a hydrant there quite easily. And it has a very minimal elevation that we're trying to draw up, which is ideal, which is why Camp Majala is also an ideal location in the future, because it's right at water level and there's already an easement in place. So, yes, sir.
Mr. Significant maintenance that has to be done on a dry hydrant?
We flush the hydrants once a year.
Okay.
And that's really it. They're fairly reliable. They're
sure.
They're fairly self-sustaining as long as they're installed properly. And most of the places that we try to install them are in areas where we're not going to get like deep sediments and stuff that can clog the filter.
Sure.
So, yes, sir.
Yeah, you mentioned the location on Broadbent Road. That's private property.
Yes.
So what I sort of suggested Dickinson Road. Where did you look at on Dickinson Road?
So I went across the bridge as the road turned left. I'm aware that at one point in time used to be a continuous road that came out right by Stewart Park there. That would be ideal if that was still there, but that road doesn't exist anymore. Right as you turn left, the river comes right up close to the road.
Yes.
But the height, and it's not the most reliable assessment because I was doing it in the winter, so we had ice and snow and everything, but the height looked like it was going to be too much of a draw for our trucks. We're limited to about 10 feet, 10 to 12 feet, where and that's the height of the inlet on the truck, not just the height of the actual roadway, where we can pull the water up out of the source. So it does warrant further assessment. We might be able to do it. The best possible test would be for me to actually take a tanker over there and throw some hose in the water and see if it will work. We felt that at least to start for this year, these two installations sort of gave us a nice even footing. For the fire that we just had on Herville Road a couple months ago, we were drawing from Stewart Park. So we went out through the boat launch and drilled holes there. So it's a good place to start.
Okay, thanks.
How many times did you have to pull water that night?
We had people set up there for about 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Any further questions from council? Have resolution 25-164, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Haskell. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the report FD-2025-04, Hydrant Mapping in the Township of McKellar, a Risk Reduction Strategy from Fire Chief Rob Morrison, and further approved placement of dry hydrants at the government dock within the village of McKellar and at Stewart Park Boat Launch, subject to approval from Ministry of Natural Resources through an approved work permit. Discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Okay, 17.2. I mean, I'll be positive here, I'm just letting you know, but
that's our month-end status. So this was just my month-end status report, providing you with essentially a glimpse of where we are as of the end of March. I'm aware of the date misspelling in there. I put April a few times, it was meant to be March. But as of the end of March, we were at 24 calls for the year. We were at 34 calls for the year. This is an increase of 10 calls over last year, where we were at the end of March. So it just seems to be getting busier and busier. The stats remain fairly consistent, where 74% of our calls are medical calls, and then we intersperse fire and MVCs and so forth, and hydro calls in between all of those.
And it's appreciated your reports. I mean, they're coming in on a monthly basis and very detailed, so this is something we're trying to achieve from all departments. Mm-hmm. You're certainly setting a good standard for everybody.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions of council with that report? Okay, so we have resolution 25-. Oh, I've already read that. Okay. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Brief explanation, keep it fairly brief. I mean, we've been through this a number of times.
We're talking mini pumper.
Mini pumper, yes.
Yes. So after the deferment of the budget from the last meeting, I felt it was imperative that I reiterate some of the most important factors in the purchase of the mini pumper. A few of them that have come to light since the deferment of the last budget was just the scale of the increase that we're looking at. If we don't proceed with the agreement that we currently have in place for tomorrow morning, would be in excess of $100,000 price difference, but also the long delays and so forth in terms of having a vehicle delivered. You're looking at 5 to 8 months of delay, which I felt was important for me to, again, reiterate just the importance of this vehicle to us being able to deliver the service that our residents currently enjoy.
Okay, go with the resolution. And resolution 25-166, move to Councillor Zulak, second to Councillor Haskam. Whereas an expression of interest for a mini pumper / tanker mounted on a chassis was issued and closed on September the 20th, 2024. And whereas dependable emergency vehicles submitted the lowest bid and was deemed the most suitable supplier to meet the operational needs of the fire department, as determined by the fire chief, and whereas the acquisition of the mini pumper has been included in the proposed 2025 capital budget, which is anticipated to be approved on May 6, 2025, and whereas the dependable mini pumper has been built and is ready for immediate delivery, and staff have secured a first right of refusal due to potential trade tariffs, which are not expected to exempt emergency vehicles, and whereas it is in the township's best interest to exercise this first right of refusal prior to its expiration on April the 16th, 2025, to avoid additional costs. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby authorizes the purchase of one dependable mini pumper mounted on a Ford F550 chassis at a cost of $402,000 plus HST in the amount of $52,260 for a total cost of $454,260. Discussion. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Three out of three, although just voted on two in a sense. So you're doing well, guys. Yes, we appreciate it. number 10 on the agenda, 10.1. Resolution 25-167, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Keckin, and be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby move into a public meeting at 6:51 p.m. to discuss a draft bylaw to provide for the payment of remuneration and expenses to the members of council and to adopt a policy for council remuneration and expenses for external boards and committees. All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. I'll turn this over, since it is a public meeting, the certainly the public can participate as well, but I'll have Charlie maybe just explain how we got to this position and why we're dealing with it this particular year at this time. And it ties in with the previous council as well and legislation. So I'll put it all in your plate to explain it.
So previously there was two bylaws that pertained to two different types of remuneration for council. One was setting the amount that they're compensated for annually, and the other was with more regards to remuneration for external boards and committees. So I've drafted a bylaw basically mirroring the two into one document. Typically, there's a line in the council remuneration bylaw that stipulates increases for consumer price index. That was taken out, so legislatively we need to annually have what council is earning, so that's also incorporated into this bylaw. So I've also added that council, the annual remuneration for the mayor and councillors may be adjusted annually to reflect the cost of living. So with each annual budget, council has the opportunity to have a consumer price index increase to their remuneration rate or not. So it just gives some more options there. As well, I've updated the schedules. Schedule A looks fairly similar, but gets into a bit more detail, as well as the expense form has been updated to reflect similar expense forms that employees and members of boards use. As well, Schedule C, it just more defines reasonable expenses for council members, so it reiterates what travel expenses are, accommodation, meals, and so on. So it's just a bit more of an update to previous bylaws that had been previously passed.
Okay, thank you. We looked at one bylaw that in 2022 that had inadvertently, I guess, I don't know whether you mentioned this or not, repealed all the previous bylaws. And unfortunately, one of those bylaws that were repealed dealt with serving on committees and boards. And so that just sort of disappeared. We had to make sure that it came back again. And so, this, Carly said, she's incorporated the two into one. And every 4 years, within the 4-year term, is supposed to be reviewed by council. Years back, we used to go on a system where you're paid an annual amount, and then any committees you sat on or any conference you went to, all that was extra. And some townships are still doing that. Sometime prior to this council, it was decided to go with more of a salary approach, so all the committees that you go to, well, most of them anyway, that you sit on, some still pay the individual councillors in the townships, but in this particular case, it was all to come back to the township. You were given a certain amount for the year, and whether you went to the meeting or didn't go to the meeting, that was your salary. And there was always that question, of course, I mean, is there any incentive to go to it? But people have been good, certainly, attending. And think of the planning board as an example. Councillor Haskin and I sit on the planning board, and they provide the money for actually attending each meeting, but that comes straight to the township, and that doesn't come back to the individual councillor. As I say, in some townships, they're still going to the individual counselors. But this is worded in such a way that I think Belvedere's a little different. I think the payment there from Belvedere to members.
It used to be, but
used
not
to be,
anymore.
Not anymore? You're not getting paid? Okay.
No.
I know it used to be, but
yeah.
With individual council members, and we never really knew what was being paid.
Yeah.
So,
no.
Okay. So, and I think social services, DSAB, it's they're paid separately for their meetings. Whitestone, as an example, I think that goes straight to the township or to the individual councillor if they're representing more than one township. So it just got, it's changed quite a bit. We're just going on the previous council, what they had in place, and pretty well what they had set with the consumer price index being added to it for each year. And we questioned too about increases, whether we should be increasing or not in this state of affairs and with the economy as it is. And so that's why it was inserted too. It may be increased by the CPI, and it may not be. It depends on what council decides. So we're trying to resolve that little issue, that glitch from before, where one was repealed and shouldn't have been, and we're following the legislation, reviewing it, and we've been having this in place, and it's sort of a holdover from, I guess, the previous council, certainly, but maybe it goes back even further when it was changed from individual committees to an actual type of salary. With that background, then I'll leave it up to council to any comments you might make, and I'll turn it over to the public.
Yeah, just the Schedule B, I don't think that chart, I think there's the chart can be modified a little bit to represent the costs that a counselor may encounter. Currently, this is the same chart that is found in the committee expense forms, and it doesn't represent what a counselor actually may encounter as expenses. The first column should definitely have the date so that you know what event or whatever that course or conference that the counselor went to. And the item description, that's fair enough. The vendor name doesn't really represent what it is that the counselor may the previous chart as well, it didn't really, it said just particulars. So first column date, and I guess item description is good for that second column. But I think that would represent what council would encounter as costs that they may submit compared to the way the chart is structured currently.
So you're suggesting it's not really a vendor as usual, that's if you're going to a conference or attending a committee. They're not selling anything necessarily. It's
it's sort of covered.
It's a host, but
it's covered in the next column, item description. So
yeah.
Item or event description.
And I think that's good too, to keep that resolution number that's in there, so that it has been approved by council. What the councilor is doing, Councilor Ryan.
Is it common, Carly? That I mean, I see that the expense details has six rows in it. Is it common that somebody would have that many on a single claim form?
No, I wouldn't say it's common. It's just how I set up the form.
It's not a complaint. I'm just, you know, thinking, especially for an item description, it's pretty limited in terms of what I could enter in there, although this is a Word document, is it?
Yeah, I can consolidate it so the spaces
yeah.
are larger.
Okay. Anyway, just a question. Same thing down there about travel details. If we don't need that many rows, we could, you know, get some extra space in those sections so we could do it. Are they typically handwritten or completed online, or like do you know?
I usually make it a fillable PDF.
Okay, yeah, and that's a lot a smart way of doing it. So,
Councilor Kekin?
In Schedule C, and then in the number 5. I wonder if it could be added as well, so it's registration for conference, registration and conference fees. Registration fees for conferences and training sessions approved by council resolution. If that could include as well courses, because I find that if a counselor would want to take one of the AMCTO courses, the registration fee for that for a full and comprehensive training regarding any matter is probably equal to what it is for a registration for any of these conferences, and it's a much more fulsome educational and benefit the entire municipality.
I just to get clarified on that, so if you're taking an AMCTO course,
yes,
and how does that benefit the municipality?
Well, if you're going to a conference, aren't you going there to be educated?
Yes, but to bring that back to council and explain what you learned there.
And so at every council meeting, with the educational information that a counselor learns taking the MCTO course, it's reflected at every council meeting with them understanding and being aware of what the Association of Municipal Clerks and Treasurers feel are important for individuals to know about municipal business.
I can see for staff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about counselors. Anything, again, it's just personal experience. Any extra courses I took through teaching and education, I paid for everything. It's something I wanted to do to improve. Counselor Zulak?
I was just going to say that's like more for staff, because your staff is giving you the information, and then that would be for your own benefit. You know what I'm saying? That course is for your benefit, because we have staff that we pay to do these things, and then if you take the course, then that is, you know, you can say, you can question things, but I don't see how that would benefit everybody, because we're already, that's like double dipping in my eyes.
Well, if you have the opportunity for a registration fee for a conference or training sessions, and isn't that what is currently in place? So a training session is that you're being educated to understand municipal structure and how the municipal governance works at a training session. So, and that costs $450 for a registration for one of those conferences. So wouldn't it be more of a return on investment if a counselor was willing to put the time and effort into taking a course, which is approximately the same cost, but are getting a much more thorough educational training session than a 1 day or a half a day training conference that they're going to.
So what would be the difference if you were to go on a, like the roads have different courses, so you go on a heavy equipment course, how is that, when you already have somebody that's doing that, being paid for that job and doing that? So you get the knowledge, so it's good for yourself, so when something comes up, you can question what's why and where and what's going on. That's knowledge for you, but we already have somebody that is doing that. I feel that's the same.
So in the way
in the fire department or anything like that, you could go to any of these courses.
Well, it's already allowable in the way that the current remuneration bylaw is written, and in the current version, it's already allowable. So you already have the opportunity, and all of these things are approved by council. So council gets to decide whether that's beneficial to the council or not. Whether you're going to go to a conference or training session, I'm just saying that you could add as well courses, because if the cost is the same to take a course as it is to go for a half-day conference, and this course you're learning over a period of 6 months, and understand. We provide council orientation to provide the basics for council members to understand how municipal governance works. So what's the difference with expanding the opportunity to have a more fulsome understanding of municipal governance?
So, okay, Mike, I won't go too much further, but so bylaw. So we have a bylaw officer who's taking courses. Now, if all of council decides they want to take those courses too, do you see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we have somebody that we're paying to do this job and is taking courses, and now we're going to have everybody else decide to take those courses too?
Well, it says here,
at council discussion.
Approved by council.
Okay.
So that's in with the attending a conference.
Yeah.
A training session is by approved by council.
Okay.
So council has the ultimate decision if they want to spend $450 for a counselor to go to a half day training session, or if they want to allow for a counselor to take a 6 month training course on municipal type of governance.
Counselor Ryan?
On the whole, I understand the points made by both councillors here, but I think generally it's beneficial to the township and to ratepayers to have development amongst people, including councillors, including the mayor, if the mayor chose to go. Again, if expense becomes an issue because, you know, suddenly now there's five people asking to do this, then I'm sure we'd have to deal with that at a minimum from the budget level and or from the approval level. but I don't see that it in any way doesn't provide a benefit to council as a whole to have more educated councillors. Matter of fact, I quite conversely think that it is beneficial, so.
Okay, question, well, we'll open up to the public too, but any other comments from council?
Well, I would just say, yeah, a lot of this discussion would happen later on when a councillor comes forward and says, I want to take a course. They can do that, and then at that point, we would have that conversation and vote on it, whether we want to send that person on that course or not, so.
But keeping in mind, whatever you decide here on the policy, it's still approved by council, but it's something you'd have to budget for.
Yeah.
And look at the reason for it. And once one goes, you know what happens. Usually.
So almost like it's got to be controlled by how much we put in the budget. You know, no, we'll have to vote no because it's not in the budget. So I think it should be open to just in case. You never know what could happen with the quality of staff down the road. Say if you had a couple person quit or whatever, that, you know, have all the qualification, the expertise of one counselor is well and well. Yes, we still got 3 years left. Maybe we better get a counselor trained in a certain aspect. I lean toward thinking we should be open to that.
The thing you have to keep in mind, the division of authority, division of power between somebody sitting on council and staff. So they don't want counselor acting as staff. And that's where you have to be careful, because if the counselor suddenly decides, hey, I know more than the staff does, then you may have a problem.
Oh, well, I've seen more than once that be an issue.
That can happen. And that's a concern. So what I'm suggesting here too, I mean, we have to decide on this because it's coming up at the next council meeting for a vote on this. It's just a public meeting tonight. Any changes that Carly may have to make to the document. So I'll open this up to the public as well. Any comments of people online or in person? Yes, leave your name and up to the mic if you could.
My name is Lawrence Rubin. I just have a couple of questions. I'm just curious how the compensation level was determined. Was there any benchmarking against other municipalities of similar size and complexity? And if that was done, when was the last time that benchmarking was done? And what is the general expectation of part-time, full-time role for counselors in the mayor? Is it part-time, 50% of a sort of full-time job for counselors, 75%? Is it a full-time job? Just
a lot depends on what you make of it, I guess, how much you want to put into it. I found this too in teaching. Some put an awful lot of effort into it, extra, and others just did the bare minimum. We do have legislation that, now again, it can be altered by council, but if you miss 3 consecutive regular meetings, then you may disappear, although council can change that. Just as far as the actual establishment, we're just going on last council's figures that they had, and then we have to go back even further, maybe Councilor Pekkanen has something there, when it was actually changed, and whether it was benchmarked in other municipalities or not, I'm not sure. I know I've checked with some of the others, and it seems to be reviewed by somebody, whether staff or who it was. The only ones that I've looked at closely, Whitestone and Carlin, we walked and compared to those two townships, very similar with assessment and any number of things. Not necessarily the nature of the land or the residents, and we're very close in those comparisons. I think in two cases, I think in both Whitestone and Carlin, that they're actually talking remuneration too. Dealing with the same issue, they may be a bit higher than what we have here. But as far as you know, where it originated, I can't help you with that because where the figure came up with, I guess it was back 2 or 3 terms of council when they actually switched from an actual, as I mentioned before, annual rate along with compensation for each committee that you attend. And now it's just an actual figure. I would think probably they did some research and looked at the hours that were being put in and the number of responsibilities, and that's how they arrived at it. But I can't say for sure because years back, this is over a decade ago, I realized that mayor at the time, and now it's a larger municipality. That's the other thing too. You have to look at some municipalities are different. They're much larger, much bigger payroll, much more responsibility. But the mayor at that point was making what I consider to be a fairly large sum, but I wasn't really aware of what that mayor's responsibilities were. So I think a lot depends on, again, what the public can digest, what they think the council is worth, what they're putting into it. And you can compare it to the townships if you wish. It's not always the easiest thing to do, as I say, because sometimes they have different work schedules, responsibilities, any number of things. But we often did that, just going back over a decade. We would compare it to other municipalities just to see. I don't know if Carly wants to add anything to where we arrived at the figure. We just, this council is just, we haven't touched it in the first couple of years. We're only dealing with it now because it has to be done within your 4-year term. And we just went based on the previous council's figure that they had arrived at. So I'm not really sure the thought process, and I don't think all of our staff is here necessarily to know how they arrived at those figures. So. Councillor Kay.
Just looking at two other municipalities that are similar size to McAllister Township, it's pretty close to what their mayor and council receive. But I think it would be a good idea to review what the other West Prairie Sound municipalities are receiving, because even though the other two municipalities, Carling and Whitestone, receive approximately the same amount of remuneration, the Whitestone, in addition to the remuneration, they receive benefits, OMERS, and they have an electronic device allowance, and they have a health spending account. And as well, Carling Township, in addition to the remuneration, they have education and conferences, remuneration, and benefits, some type of additional benefits on top of it. So just to have an idea of what other municipalities are compensating their counselors, I don't think it's a bad idea, just all around to see what they're receiving. But I do believe that it should, the CPI increase annually should remain in the remuneration bylaw, because if you look back in the different bylaws, what has happened, because there wasn't a consistent increase in 2005, there was a 20% increase. Instead of an increase based on the CPI of approximately 2.5 this year, you end up having to try to catch up a few years later. And in 2005, the increase was for the annual remuneration was 20%. And in 2008, it was a 5% increase. So I think if it's in line with the CPI, then I think that's a fair sort of increase consistently, and there isn't a need for a catch-up at a later point in time.
And I'm thinking even this year, I saw it in the paper anyway, Sequin looking at 20-some percent. I don't know whether it passed or not, but that's the interesting thing about all of this, too, that the way the government has set it up.
Yeah.
It's rather, I mean, for councillors to actually decide on their own wage scale, I mean, that's the way they've done it. I'm not sure where it originated. Certainly, councillors vote on staff, and we do compare staff in different townships, depending, again, on what the role is and how many people they're responsible for. So we do some comparison there, but for council, yeah, it's been fairly interesting the way it's been all designed. But
I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe all politicians at all government levels deserve fair and accurate compensation for the work that they do. And so I would suggest that you look at benchmarking, because you should be fairly paid relative to your peers for the work effort.
Okay, well, appreciate that. I don't think there are any pensions, right? Anybody else from the public wish to speak on this issue? As I say, we're not dealing with it necessarily tonight. This is just to hear opinions. Anybody online? State, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular session at
7:16.
7:15 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Waiting patiently, delegations and presentations. The Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee and Manitowoc Lake Community Association. Tree/brush/park donation and welcome packages. Two different topics. So, again, if it's going to be 10 minutes or to that extent, you can actually pull up a chair and
okay.
You don't have to stand at the mic the whole time.
Do you want to share?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
My name is Jennifer Gantfuller. I'm chair of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee for the Township of McKellar. So our committee has put together a package. The title of this package is, this environmental package reflects that these are things to consider about the environment when living, working, and having recreation in McKellar Township. And so the title of the package is Environmental Considerations for McKellar Residents. And the contents, we thought about topics that have been addressed in the past by this committee, in past campaigns, some of which were completed, some of which are current. There are also topics that LSCC has not previously worked on, but we felt we needed to address in this package. So, for example, that includes fire-resistant properties, protection against flood damage, and decreasing risk to property with wildfires. We've attempted to have our approach to all topics based on the most recent science available. And so for that reason as well, we plan to review this package annually and add and delete or alter as necessary so that we can keep the information timely and up to date. This package was conceived when one of the committee members expressed regret that he didn't have all the knowledge that we held as a committee about living in our environment and supporting our environment. And he didn't have that available to him when he built his place. And so it's primarily aimed at new residents. However, all the information in it will be useful to all residents. People who are considering buying in McKellar Township often examine the township website to see what kind of activity is happening. I've talked to people who decided on buying their property because of the amount of water testing that we do, that they thought that meant that we were dedicated to taking care of the environment. So they look at the website, they look at the environmental page, and they're quite likely to find this package then. We're looking for ways to connect with residents who have moved here since September of 2022. If you recall, that's when the Lake Protection Workbook was distributed to all households in the township, and that Lake Protection Workbook will also be available alongside this package. Our approach will be to print a limited number of packages for those residents and advertise the availability of the package online. And so I know the councillor has received it, was in the agenda, a copy of our package. And it's about 24 pages of content and the introduction, and covers quite a gamut of information. And the committee worked quite hard on this. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that the councillors have.
Okay, it's certainly very detailed, as you say, covering many different topics. Just one, and you may not be aware of this, but it goes back a number of years. Whenever we say McKellar, we're very careful to say Township of McKellar, so that Broadbent and Herdville, not that anybody living there today would be upset, but sometimes they feel left out and neglected because it says McKellar. And McKellar has its own village sort of thing, so just as a word, just a suggestion that wherever it says McKellar residents, that most of the document does talk about Township of McKellar, but a lot of time I just see McKellar residents.
Sure.
So
that, I didn't.
No, you wouldn't know the history.
No,
I'll
definitely
yeah.
make that addition.
But as I say, very detailed. It's certainly, and I see somebody's already gone down through and some editing in the. saved me some editing as an old English teacher, and I think it's well put together. And I like the idea of the codes. Now, I don't use a cell phone as such, but for those who do, apparently it's very useful to actually access the information just by scanning over that.
One of our committee members a couple of years ago suggested that we use QR codes because the young people use those more readily, and so they're more likely to look up the information if they have that available. Because they do it on their phones, and so it's quite used to doing that. Took me a while to learn it, but.
I had one question just on with trees in particular, because we talk about the tree canopy and we talk about the shoreline and just using removing branches if necessary for sight lines, and then also deciduous trees as opposed to conifers. I'm wondering, I wanted to make sure there wasn't any conflict there about people planting trees and how close to the should plant them to their own houses, because I guess there was a concern when we looked at the development of the road, and our engineer suggested that it be cleared back so many feet from the roadway itself, and some people upset by that they wanted to keep the tree canopy sort of thing over the road, but he's saying practically it's better to move it back. And I just think of wildfires or storms, and recently all the trees have come down through the Muskokas. Whether there's any conflict or what's the suggestion for the tree location. You want to keep the trees along the shore, as you suggest, but you also want them on different parts of the property. And yet, I think at one point, I'm not sure if this document actually said it, but I think from previous discussions, you had mentioned certain issues. I forget the percentage. Maybe you can refresh my memory on that. On what should be developed on the property, percentage of development versus keeping in natural state.
Yes, the suggestion in the Lake Protection Workbook is 75% along the shoreline.
Okay.
And so 75% be left undeveloped and 25%, you know, clear for use by the family and put the dock in and all that kind of thing. There is always a new wrinkle, you know, as things progress. And so with climate change, we're looking at a higher risk to wildfires. And so one of the things that we did with this, when we were developing this document, is look very closely at the wildfire risk. And consulted with people. One of our committee members has a son-in-law who works for the Alberta Forestry Service, and he teaches wildfire fighters. And so he was invaluable in terms of looking at what we were thinking of including in the package and what would work and what has been successful in Alberta. And so there has to be, when you have climate change and when you have a higher risk of wildfires, there has to be some compensation when you're looking at how you plant things on your own property. And so what we've done is look very carefully at Fire Safe Canada and the fire-resistant plants. And so what's covered in this document is where to find out what plants and what trees are more fire-resistant. And so gradually, you know, getting people to move over. Deciduous trees are more fire resistant because they hold so much water. And conifers burn more easily because of the resin in them. And so what Fire Smart Canada suggests is that the crowns of the conifers be, I think it's 9 meters apart. So it's not that you have to take out all your conifers, just when you're, over the years, when you're planning, you know, thin them down a little bit if necessary. Put in deciduous trees when you were thinking of maybe a conifer close to them. So this is within 30 meters or so of the house. And other changes as well in terms of looking at the plants, so that you put in, that they're not resinous, they don't have a lot of dead wood on them. Encouraging people to trim the dead branches from the bottom of conifers as well, so that the fire can't come from the ground and go up the tree. So there's a lot of science what has worked and what hasn't worked. And so we really endeavored to put a lot of that information in for McCullough residents. And they, you know, we can't do everything in 1 year, that's for sure. But as they plan their property over many years, then they can certainly keep things in mind. You know, let's move the, this is one thing we have to do, is move the firewood away from the house, you know, because it's too close. And so, I mean, you can't predict everything, and you're going to have to take a look at things, what's important to you, what's not, and just make sure that you decrease the risk of damage to your home if a wildfire should happen. And so that's what we've tried to do.
I'm noticing, too, I don't know whether you had any feedback from previous publications, but I know, again, in the teaching field, these are imperative sort of statements. They're almost like don't do this, don't do that. And I'm wondering how the public responds to that when they're told, and especially when they read so many of them, all in one document. I mean, are they going to get all through it, or are they just going to look at, keep this on the bedside sort of thing, or the coffee table, and look at it every so often? I'm wondering, is the length appropriate, you think? You've been into some other areas, you said, too. I mean, there's so many topics to cover. How do you feel about the approach, the imperative approach, saying do this or don't do that?
Well,
I don't know how else you say it.
The title says these are considerations, right. And so that means that you get to decide yourself, you know, whether or not you're going to follow them. Because it's science-based, it's based on the most recent scientific thought, and maybe that leans towards imperative statements, I'm not too sure. If you have any specific examples, but it also keeps it short, you know, for example, avoid excess speed when driving a boat. That's on the back page, I just flipped it over. And so I think it's important to be imperative about something like that. And a lot of these things are important for thriving and for the environment to thrive as well as the people who are living in it. If there's any particular statement that you would object to, then...
No, I just noticed that throughout, and I didn't know how people were responding to commands. And I know there's no easy way of writing it down. And, even with legislation and laws that are enacted, if it says don't do this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But then you got the five-man electrical band and the song about signs. And, so you get all these signs posted on waves, for instance, and at the boat launches and all that. Do people actually pay attention to them? I know you have to do it. You have to put it out there. But if there's a proliferation of this material, do you get any feedback? How many people are reading it, responding, following your advice or consideration? I don't know what the feedback is.
Well, we certainly have gotten good feedback in the past from pamphlets and whatnot. I'm thinking of the septic pamphlet that we put out, is it 2 years ago in the summer, I think? And there was a lot of people said, oh, I didn't know anything about that. And it's so important, you know, for people. And I have talked to so many people because I do the booth at the market in the summertime. And, you know, a couple of people very shyly told me how many decades it had been since they had the septic pump and didn't even know that they needed to do that. And, you know, so I tend to get feedback very quietly. From people on an ad hoc basis, and I haven't had anybody come up to me and say, "Gee, you guys are, you know, this is useless. Why are you doing this?" I haven't never had that, and so I think that people have a lot of respect for just knowing, you know, what's out there. They may not do it, but they at least know, you know, what's advisable, and it also increases just the awareness of needing to look after the environment.
Can I just kind of play middle of the road here? I'm a member of the committee with Jennifer, and I learn things every time I have a meeting or a MoGo meeting. But in the background, Jennifer, perhaps what hasn't been fully explained is that a huge number of people that moved here from a city, most of these things are brand new to them. When you live in a suburb, in a city that's on water and sewer and everything else, you don't even consider these issues because you've never needed to, and I'm one of those people. Over the last few years, I've had exposure to the committee, but there's lots of things here that I learned from. When I was reading through this document, there was things I thought I knew, but found out I didn't know. And you're right, you could take it in a negative way, but I will also say that this is the first iteration of this document. They're not pretending this is a perfect document by any means, and we would actively solicit feedback from people who have feedback to give us, because we're not trying to be, we're not trying to tell you what to do, we're trying to help you to do the right things that help you, so and help the community, help the lake, all those kinds of things. And Jennifer did touch on those things, but perhaps not explain them explicitly, that's all.
Just to clarify as well, I wasn't being negative, I just asked
about it. So. I didn't take it as being negative, but the 5-man electrical band thing was pretty cute. But you're not a long-haired, freaky person either. So.
I used to be, yeah. Yes, so again, if you need a mic so people online can hear you. So.
Suzanne Paul. I was just going to mention that I've worked alongside Jennifer, but I think what will happen here is people who actually want the information are going to seek out the information. When you said like the don't do this, don't do that feeling, I think people will, if they're seeking it out and want to know, they're not going to take that really negatively. Mm-hmm. I know I didn't when I first moved here 3.5 years ago. Loved everything that Jennifer was putting out. I just absorbed as much information as I could. And I did a lot of wrong things in the beginning with my septic and learned from that booklet. And going forward, I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Yes. You're one of the guest speakers. Go ahead.
Good evening. Steve McDonnell, president of MLCA. I just wanted to comment about one thing, and that was the wildfire. Earlier, you commended Rob Morrison for his diligence, and we've been in collaboration for 2 years now with wildfire presentations, last year at RIPFest, this year at RIPFest, and Herdville Hall will be going down there. Herdville Hall will be giving them free food and a band. So the point I'm trying to make is this is a baseline document. It's got to be implemented over a decade. And that's what we're doing with the fire department, and Rob is helping a lot. And we're talking to people, and we're feeding them, and that helps. Because they relax, and then people feel like you're all a team working together. And that's the sort of thing we need more, and it happens at the market a lot. People walk away like, whoa. So it's good. And it's personal. So this is maybe a good starting place, but it won't do a thing unless it has some sort of,
Yeah.
So going forward, and I just wanted to thank you about your comments about Rob Morrison. And that's all I guess.
Well, your group is certainly appreciated as well. I know you're not looking for accolades here, but all the work you're doing, I mean, that's important. We've always said that, too, the preservation of the lake itself, Manitowoc being the largest lake, and you moved up beyond that into some of the other lakes as well, and I think that's good throughout the township. There are different things happening now, and it's such a dedicated group. I know some people have had other obligations, and they've moved on from the group, but you always seem to have more people coming in with the expertise, and again, that's what we appreciate, because we sitting on council, speaking for myself anyway, we don't have the background, that the scientific background certainly that's required to. All we can do, I guess, is support your studies and put them through. I know you're looking for legislation as well, and I suppose if we can do any of that, we shall. Let's see what kind of a response we get. We're always a little cautious with more rules. Because we've gone on the philosophy generally that less is more, but the people do need to be educated in some ways. It's just a matter of how to do it without being too authoritarian and with coming in all kinds of rules
Yes, I'd just like to say I think it's a great document for a welcoming package, and especially with the tree cover on people's properties, this is really good for especially rural properties that have a lot of tree cover, including myself. One of the jobs I have right now is trying to eliminate my 50-foot tall white pines. I've got way too many of them, and from anything I've read about forest fires, how they travel and that, I would certainly be a target to have a lot of damage to my property unless I can do something about these trees going forward. So I think that's a really good part of this document. Another thing is it's great, the information you have for a septic tile bed, like do not park cars, trucks, and snowmobiles, and all that kind of stuff. I just wonder, another thing that's not on here, whether people are aware of it or not, but to do not disturb the natural snow cover on your tile bed, because that would, say if you run a snowmobile over it or whatever, it would allow the frost to penetrate into the bed and thereby possibly damaging the pipes or freezing them up, which then would restrict the flow. So it's not in there whether you would want to add it in that section or not. But other than that, I think this is a great welcoming package document.
Councilor Keckin?
I got to agree. This is a lot of research went into this, and it's a lot of practical information that anyone can utilize and become a little more knowledgeable about just things that we encounter on a regular basis. But the first part of your presentation, it's talking about the planting of trees and shrubs down here by the new ballpark. Are you going to?
Oh, no, that's.
Oh, that's coming up?
Going to present.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And I would like to point out that we did change the title from environmental guidelines, which sounded too dictatorial to us, to environmental considerations.
Good move. Any other comments from council? Public, okay. Again, we need to go to the.
Where do you get
sorry, we need you to go to the mic so people so people online can hear.
I just step right up. I was wondering where you get a copy of that.
We need your name too, sir.
Ed Dusher.
So once council gives their okay, then we can go about getting a limited number printed. And then, as I said, we're going to seek out people who have bought property since we distributed the lake protection workbook that goes into different information than is in here, but it's was very well received when we did that 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And then we'll go about getting some of these printed, but it will also be available online on the and in the library as well. And so the Township of McKellar website, under environment, we have our page where we put everything that we have produced. And I mean, we take out a few things that are too old and have been replaced by others, but there's a wealth of information there, everything from how to set up your water, you know, so that you know that you're getting clean water, especially if you take it out of the lake, to there's just all kinds of information that we've been putting up over the years, and this will be there as well. So then we'll be advertising on, we have a Facebook page, the Lake Stewardship Committee, MLCA. We work very, very closely with MLCA. We're in each other's back pockets all the time. And so they promote what we do, we promote what they do. And so that will be available for them as well. And so it'll be, but it has to go through the process of being approved. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Councilor
Kang? Just a question on the table at the back there is that copies of this council package?
No, that's the budget.
Okay. Because it's available in the council package for this council meeting, April 15th. You can go check it out.
So it's already online. If you look at the agenda, then go.
Anything further? Thank you. Some comments you made. Carly is rewriting the resolution here, so that's good. Mr. McDonnell, you have comments now?
Yes. Good evening. I'm here with Steve McDonnell again with and Sue Poff is one of partners in crime with trees. And Chris Clayton couldn't be here tonight.
So we were kicking this idea around because we were watching the ball diamond be built and wondered if any help was needed. So we were just offering our expertise and some money and some volunteer labor as part of a collaboration. We included that diagram, but really we don't even know what the plans are, so we just threw that out there. Just to, so that everyone understands, we understand the scope of what's going on. And obviously it's going to be a several year project. And we're here to help. And that's all we want to do, and we'll figure out how to work with through Carly.
In the I'm not sure if you mentioned it, you mentioned about the trees, where the ball diamond was placed, the silt fences have failed down there with the soil being washed down and in. So I recommended that we plant some sumac. They're very hardy, drought tolerant, will spread, and they're excellent for erosion control. And they will just naturalize down on that hill bank and prevent any soil from continuing to wash down so that you're not having to replace that up there at a later date. So that was just one of my recommendations, and NLCA will donate those shrubs for that place if you'd like us to proceed.
Certainly sounds good. We're at the preliminary stage still. And I know it's been going on for a number of years, but it's been put off for various reasons, and we're finally getting it together. I think it'll be year, the actual ball field itself, so we'll have a better idea of what might be required there. Yeah, and then speaking of that particular area, you know, we mentioned this last council meeting with washouts, and that we're having problems even around the beach here with I don't know whether you can plant anything there because we want to keep it fairly open, but there is a problem with soil entering the lake. Yeah, and so anything that would help prevent that or mitigate at least, I think that would be helpful. And I really like the idea of free labor and purchasing the tree. That sounds great.
Well, we bring these plants in every year, and it's very economical. It's great. And Sue and I know Chris, they're always open to come and give advice. A lot of advice. Chris has come to my place, and I was going to do all kinds of things. He says, no. Nah. Don't do that. Just let it go natural for 3 years and then see. Okay. So save me a lot of money.
That's right. Money and work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
that's, no, that's great. When we get further along with the project, certainly be in touch. And we appreciate everything that you're doing. So.
Okay, and I think, can I talk to Carly then over the next few weeks to see?
She's pretty busy, but she might listen to you.
Well, we're at a stage where we've ordered things, and if we're not going to use them, we'll cancel the order.
Yeah, we'll speak this week.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We have resolution 25-169. Let's see if this covers everything. Moved by Councillor Keckin and seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive a deputation from the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee Chair Jennifer Dent Fuller and Steve McDell from the Manitowoc Lake Community Association. I guess we could add Sue Poff from there too. But, further authorize the planting of trees and bushes at the new ball field placement subject to approval from the Public Works Superintendent so that it does not interfere with the snowmobile trail. And further approve the use of the committee's new logo, and further that the environmental considerations for Township of McKellar residents welcome package be approved to be posted on the Township's website and a limited number of copies to be printed and available at the Township office. Discussion.
Does it say Township of McKellar?
Yes, I noticed that. I noticed even when Jennifer was speaking recently, she did mention Township of McKellar. She was going to say that anyway, I'm sure. But is there anything else? Any amendments you want on that? Whether it's okay to the committee members, the wording? It's a matter of going beyond the word, certainly.